Om agyanatmaranda sya kyananjana shalakaya chaksur unmilitanyena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobistam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantekam bandiham shri guru shri yata padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raganathan vitam tam sajevam sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita shri vishaka nitamscha he krishna karana sindhu dinabandhu jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu State Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaivacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadhi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Yesterday we spoke about the deliverance of Prakashananda Saraswati and the Mayavadi Sannyasis during Lord Chaitanya's visit to Benares. We want to go back to an event which took place before this, when Lord Chaitanya first took sannyas. After his taking sannyas, he was traveling with a few of his intimate associates towards Jagannath Puri. At some particular point, he gave his ekadandi, sannyasi rod, to Nityananda Prabhu. But the rod was broken. When Lord Chaitanya discovered that his sannyasi rod had been broken, externally he displayed anger, that he was not pleased. And he said, I'm going to go to Puri alone, and you can either go ahead of me or wait, and I'll go first. So they said, well, you go ahead. So Lord Chaitanya went on ahead without them. He didn't want to be with them because he was unhappy with them. They'd broken his sannyasi rod. So Lord Chaitanya entered into the temple of Lord Jagannath, and seeing the form of Lord Jagannath, he was awakened. His transcendental love for the Lord was awakened, and he collapsed in an unconscious state. When he collapsed in the unconscious state, some of the caretakers of the temple came running forward with sticks to beat him. However, it so happened at that particular time, the person in charge of the management of the temple was there. And the person in charge of the management of the temple was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would not let these people beat this young sannyasi who had collapsed unconscious in the temple. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took some swab of cotton wool and placed it in front of the nostrils of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and detected that he was only breathing very slightly and his consciousness was in a submerged state due to bhava, due to a very exalted level of bhava, transcendental ecstasy. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very surprised that such a young man could be in this condition. And he requested some of the people in the temple to help him to bring his unconscious body to his home. In this way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had the opportunity of rendering some agyata sukriti to the Lord. Eventually, Lord Nityananda came with the other devotees, and when they inquired where was Lord Chaitanya, then they heard what had happened. And they heard that the Lord was in an unconscious condition. So at that time, all the devotees went there and they chanted the holy names. And by their chanting, they were able to revive Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had one brother-in-law whose name was Gopinath Acharya. Gopinath Acharya was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he told to his brother-in-law, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not an ordinary person, but he is actually an incarnation of God. He is the Lord Himself. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could not accept this. Actually, we should explain that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was not just simply the manager of the temple of Jagannath Puri, but he was a great logician, the greatest logician of his time. He was expert in the philosophy of Nyaya, logic, and he had written many books, and he was engaged in the service of the king as well as in the service of the temple there in Jagannath Puri. His service was to teach Vedanta Sutra to many of the sannyasis there, who were all Mayavadi sannyasis. We know Shankaracharya has his mutt there. Adi Shankaracharya established 4 mutts, one in Dwarka, one in Bhadrak Ashram, one in Sringiri, and one in Puri. So there were Mayavadi sannyasis, there were people who were not yet sannyas, who were going to take sannyas one day. So they all had to be educated in the Mayavadi philosophy, in the teachings of Shankaracharya. And this was the work of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was teaching these people. Gopinath Acharya was telling him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord Himself. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had been so influenced by his logic and by his mental speculation based on the philosophy of Shankar that he could not understand this. So Gopinath Acharya told him that when you are blessed by the grace of the Lord, then you will understand his actual position. You need to have his mercy before you will be able to understand the actual identity of the Lord. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then considered the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he thought that he is a very young man and he is very tall and he has such attractive features that it will be very difficult for him to maintain his vow of renunciation as a sannyasi. He thought if he wants to maintain his vow of renunciation as a sannyasi, it will be very helpful for him if he can have a good philosophical understanding of the scriptures. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya decided that the best way he could help Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to teach him Vedanta Sutra. Yesterday we were explaining about the discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Prakasananda Saraswati and how they were discussing about Vedanta Sutra. So again, it came up in Jagannath Puri. It came up earlier. This event took place earlier, before the incident in Benares. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya decided that he would have to teach the Vedanta Sutra to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, it will prepare him for his life of renunciation as a sannyasi. If we encourage all the devotees, you know, read the books, study the philosophy, because if you have a little knowledge, then that will keep us in Krishna consciousness. It makes it so much easier if we can understand the teachings of Krishna consciousness. If we don't know anything, you know, if we just simply chant Hare Krishna, we like kirtan, that's very nice, but we can easily be victim of Maya, because the material energy is very powerful. But if we have some knowledge of the scriptures, if we have studied some little, made some effort to understand this philosophy and learn how to apply it, it will help us a lot to be steady in our practice of Krishna consciousness. So this is very good, actually. The devotees here are having so many classes. You're fortunate in so many ways that some people are coming, visitors, they're lecturing, and every week you have so many hours, classes going on. This is very nice, very helpful. And once we learn this knowledge, we never forget it. That even one may go away from Krishna consciousness, but that knowledge will remain with him. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya concluded that he should teach Vedanta, and Lord Chaitanya was not eager, but Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was so insisting that this is really important. You know, I want to help you. You know, you want to be a sannyasi. You want to keep your vow as a sannyas. You should take this advantage. I will teach you Vedanta. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya began to speak, and Lord Chaitanya was listening. Just as we heard Lord Chaitanya teach other devotees, we heard how he taught Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Prakasananda Saraswati. He also taught, here we see Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya teaching Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya sat and listened to him. Not just for one day, not just for 2 days, but for 7 days. Finally, on the 8th day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became a little frustrated with his student. Right? Because he thought that, I have been speaking to you for 7 days. Now is the 8th day. And you have not asked one question. I don't know if you understand or not. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm a fool. I can't understand Vedanta. So then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, well, if you don't understand, then you should ask me. Tell me what you don't understand, and then I can explain it to you. So, of course, Lord Chaitanya was just avoiding the point. He did not like to openly confront Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, but the Bhattacharya pushed him and said that, if you don't understand, you must have some question, but you're not questioning anything. For 7 days you've not questioned. You just simply sit there. Now, what is in your mind? You must have something in your mind. And then Lord Chaitanya explained to him that actually he said, your explanations of Vedanta, I don't understand. But the verses of Vedanta are very clear. The meaning of each and every verse of Vedanta Sutra is very clear in my mind. But when I hear you explain, I don't know what you're talking about. Very bewildering. And Lord Chaitanya then went on to explain that you should take the direct meaning from the Vedanta Sutra. You do not have to interpret the scriptures. You do not just simply have to use your own mental speculative powers to understand the meaning of the Vedas. We should take the direct meaning. Lord Chaitanya gives a nice example of how the Vedas are perfect knowledge. Just like, generally, the stool of an animal, the stool of any living entity, and the bones of any entity are generally considered impure. But the dung of the cow and the conch shell are pure, on the basis of Vedic authority. we will say, we don't want any bones, we don't want any dung, any stool anywhere in the temple. These things are not pure. If you touch them, you have to take a bath. But the Vedas tell us that cow dung and conch shells are pure. In fact, we keep the conch shell on the altar, and we can use cow dung also for the ceremonies. We do some fire sacrifice. We want to purify something. We can use the cow dung. This is on the basis of Vedic evidence. If we were to speculate, someone may think, well, if the dung of the cow is pure, maybe the stool of the brahmana is more pure. Right? Yeah, because, you know, the cow, because, you know, this is the type of thing which may happen when we speculate, you see? So one has to be a little careful. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya explains the importance of taking the direct meaning, mukhya vritti, taking the direct meaning from the scriptures and not simply interpreting, which is what Shankaracharya has done in order to establish his impersonal philosophy. He has simply taken the indirect meaning, twisted everything around so that he could present the idea that ultimately the absolute truth is impersonal, without any form. But everywhere we see there is form. The Lord is no less than his creation. He is everything within the creation and beyond it. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on to explain the real conclusion, the conclusion of the disciplic succession in explaining Vedanta Sutra, exactly in accordance with Srila Vyasadeva's teachings in Srimad Bhagavatam, that the Absolute Truth is not impersonal, but the Absolute Truth exists as impersonal Brahman, as localized, all-pervading Paramatma, and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. That these are all simultaneously different features of the Absolute Truth. So Lord Chaitanya went on to establish the personal conclusion of the Vedanta Sutra. And at some point, he then spoke about how the qualities of Krishna are so attractive that even liberated souls are attracted to them. And at this point, he quoted the verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Atmarama Sloka. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard this verse, he said, "All right, so explain this verse to me." Atmarama verse, and this is coming in first canto Srimad Bhagavatam. Atmaramas chamunayo nirgranta apirukrami kurvanti ahaitakim bhaktim itam bhuta guno harihi. That even those who are Atmarama, who take pleasure in the self, who are liberated souls, they are attracted to hear the pastimes and the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This indicates that the qualities of the Supreme Lord are not material. If they were material, liberated souls would not be interested in them. So this is a very important verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard this verse quoted by Lord Chaitanya, who was establishing that the qualities of Krishna are so attractive that even liberated souls are drawn to them, then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, "Why don't you explain this verse to me?" So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Well, you explain it first, and then I will try." Right? So he requested Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "You kindly explain this verse to me." So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is not an ordinary person. we should understand. His identity is revealed by Kavi Karnapur. That Kavi Karnapur has revealed the identity of all the different associates in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Kavi Karnapur is the son of Shivananda Sen, and he wrote many wonderful books. And he has described the identities of each of these associates, so each of these personalities who appear in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And he describes that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is actually Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the devas. And he has come in the form of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to take part in the Leela of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained the Atmarama verse in 9 different ways. And after hearing these explanations, Lord Chaitanya was very pleased and he thanked him. He said, "You are certainly a wonderful logician." He said, "But for you, nobody else could understand your explanation." You have all the blessings of Brihaspati, that you can explain the verse in this way. But he said, "You have explained according to your own mundane logic and academic ability and mental speculations." He said, "Now I will explain." Then Lord Chaitanya went on to explain the meaning of the Atmarama Sloka. And without touching on any of the 9 explanations which were given by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Lord Chaitanya went on to explain the Atmarama Sloka in 61 different ways, to which Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was completely astounded. Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was an elderly person, he was on the level of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father. Actually, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's original home was in Navadvip. When you go on Navadvip Parikram, we often visit that place where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had lived, where he had been raised. And so he actually was familiar with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's family, and he, in age, he was much elder than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like his father. And so very learned. And so he was just astonished that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at this time only a mere 24 years old, young man, that he could explain this verse in so many more ways and give it so many unlimited meanings, all in relation to devotional service to the Supreme Lord, and all establishing the personal feature of the Lord. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was astonished, and after being defeated in this way, then Lord Chaitanya kindly revealed to him a special form. Lord Chaitanya revealed his form as Satbhuj, two arms displaying the form of Lord Ramachandra carrying the bow and arrow, two arms holding the flute as Lord Sri Krishna, and then two arms of the sannyasi holding the danda and the kamandalu. This is the form of Sadbhuj. Lord Chaitanya showed this form to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to let him know that the person he was talking to was none other than the Supreme Lord himself. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya felt transcendental ecstasy seeing this form of the Lord, and he became a surrendered soul. He recognized the absolute position of devotional service. Actually, I forgot to narrate a little incident which took place in the very beginning with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's brother-in-law, Gopinathacharya. I was saying that Gopinathacharya was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was saying that how can Mahaprabhu be God? Because he said in the Kali Yuga, there is no incarnation of God. And in this way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya established his statement by saying that the Lord is known as Tri Yuga, that he only appears in three yugas. He does not come in the Kali Yuga. But hearing this, Gopinathacharya rebuked him and said, you're supposed to be a scholar, but you haven't learned the scriptures yourself. Don't you know that the Lord comes in every age? He does not come as a Leela avatar in Kali Yuga. So there's no Leela avatar in Kali Yuga, but there is the Yuga avatar. In every age the Lord comes. And Gopinathacharya quoted evidence from scriptures, like Krishna Varnam Tivisha Krishnam, that the Lord comes in the blackish color. In the 11th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, the incarnations of Godhead are described for each age. And in every age the Lord comes. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati paritranaya sadhanam vinaschaya chaduskritam dharma samstarpanatai sambhavami yuge yuge. Age after age, the Lord comes. So the Lord does come in the Kali Yuga. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was shocked hearing the words of Gopinathacharya. He had misunderstanding. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has defeated him, and he has then revealed his form as the Supreme Lord. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya becomes a surrendered devotee. He takes shelter of the Supreme Lord. He recognizes his mistake, and he becomes a surrendered, humble soul. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that after this incident, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that of the different forms of devotional service, what is the most important item? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that the most important item of devotional service is to chant the holy name of the Lord. So with this instruction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became a chanter. He began to regularly chant the holy name. He was taking pleasure in the chanting of the holy name. Previously, he'd been a dull logician, but now he had become a devotee. He describes himself that, I was like a crow, and the Lord, by his mercy, has made me into a Garuda. There's another nice statement. He said, previously, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is quoted as saying, before, in the association of jackals, known as logicians, I simply continued to bark a bew, bew. But now, with the same mouth, I am chanting the holy names, Krishna and Hari. Once I associated with disciples of logic, all non-devotees. Now I am merged in the association, in the nectarian association of devotees. So this is the transformation which took place in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After being changed in this way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became very humble, and he would appreciate so much his brother-in-law, Gopinath Acharya. He said that because I have some relationship with you through our family, and because you are a devotee, therefore the Lord has been kind on me. Gopinath Acharya was telling him, I told you you'd become a devotee when the Lord is merciful on you. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, it's because of your kindness, because of you, because you're a devotee. He said, I'm simply a low-class person, a foolish logician. He said, but you are the devotee, and because you're a devotee, the Lord has been kind on me. So hearing these words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Chaitanya Charitamrita goes on to describe, you know, previously Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a smarter Brahman. Smarter Brahman means that one can only become a Brahman by birth. That you have to take birth in a Brahmana family to be a Brahman. And smarter Brahmins do not have any faith in the Lord's prasadam. They do not consider that prasadam cannot be contaminated. They don't have that kind of faith. They have very strict principles about when to take prasadam. You know, when you have to do their pujas and everything before they can eat. So, on one particular morning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come from the Lord Jagannath temple and secured prasadam of Lord Jagannath. And he came to the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya early in the morning. The Bhattacharya had not yet got up from bed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was knocking on the door. And he could hear the Bhattacharya waking up. He could hear him chanting the holy name of Krishna. So Mahaprabhu was pleased. When they opened the door, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was happy to give him Lord Jagannath's prasadam. And what did Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya do? He immediately ate it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so joyful. He was so pleased. Because usually, you know, a smarter Brahmin has to first of all clean himself, certainly clean the teeth, you know, take bath, then do puja, then only can eat once you've finished all the morning duties. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya immediately took the prasadam and quoted scriptures also to support his behavior. There are scriptural injunctions which state that whenever the Lord's prasadam is given, whether you are purified or not, regardless of time and circumstance, one should immediately take the prasadam. Immediately one should honor it. Even if it has come from a distant place, whatever. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that all of this material conditioning that was covering Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was now removed. That now he had become a nice, pure devotee, 100% surrendered to the service of the Lord. No more material considerations about what was proper and what was improper. This is quite a significant point, because often, sometimes people consider, oh, you can't do this, oh, you can't do that. But with this example, this was Lord Chaitanya's own way of revealing the position and the faith which Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had developed in the Lord's prasadam. So, having come to this place, that stage, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was regularly enjoying the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And often they would take prasadam together. He would sit with Lord Chaitanya by his side and they would take prasadam. Sometimes he would invite Lord Chaitanya to his home also. Another interesting incident which took place in relation to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was one day the Bhattacharya came and quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam from the 10th canto, prayers offered by Lord Brahma after the incident of Brahma Vimohan Lila. There's one verse there which probably many of you know. Tate nukampam susamikshamana punjana ivatma kritam vipakam rigvagvapubir vadadan namaste jiveta yo. It says mukti pade sadaya bhak. But he changed it to Bhakti Pade Sadaya Bhak. Huh? Lord Chaitanya said, hey, what is this? You've changed the word. You can't change the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went on to say no. He said, it should be bhakti. It should be bhakti pade sabdaya bhakti. Mukti, we don't want mukti. This mukti is not good. Mukti, the idea of mukti is merging with the Lord. This is hellish. We can't speak like this in Srimad Bhagavatam. This idea of becoming one with the Lord, this is never accepted by the devotees. And we're saying the Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost Purana. How can we speak about mukti? It should be bhakti pade. Like this. He was arguing that, you know, this mukti, this, if we speak about mukti, then certainly they'll be thinking about liberation. And when they think of liberation, they only think of one liberation. They simply think of Sayuja Mukti, becoming one with the Lord. And this is very offensive, very bad. There are actually two types of Sayuja Mukti. One is entering into the impersonal Brahman, and the other is entering into the body of the Lord. So this type of liberation is very hellish. And why? Because there's no opportunity for devotional service. You cannot engage in devotional service in such a condition. A devotee is not anxious for any type of liberation, but he may accept the other four kinds of liberation, such as Sarupya, Salokya, Sarsti, Samipya. But Sayujya is never accepted by a devotee of the Lord. And when we speak about mukti, that's what people think. They think, simply think, become one. Oneness with the Brahman. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was arguing like this. We have to change it. It should be bhakti pade. But Lord Chaitanya said, well, when I read Mukti Pade, I can understand that it indicates directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Mukti Pade means one who has taken shelter, one who is the shelter of all kinds of liberation. And that is Lord Krishna. The Supreme Lord is the shelter of all kinds of liberation. And this Mukti Pade, mukti is the subject matter of the ninth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. So Mukti Pade indicates the tenth canto. The tenth canto is all about Lord Krishna. The Sanam Bonam is all the pastimes of Lord Krishna. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya explained how Mukti Pade actually means. In two ways it can be used to refer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, well, anyway, I want mukti. I don't think of this. You know, you can give these interpretations, but ordinary people, when they read it, they will simply think of Sayujya. I don't want anything. It fills me with horror, just the mention of this word mukti. So all the devotees laughed to hear that how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had changed so much, that in the beginning he was so much attached to this idea of mukti. Because for the impersonalists, their goal is mukti. But now he could not even stand to hear the word or to see it there in the scriptures. So this is very wonderful, how a person could change so much to become such a nice devotee. So it was a very significant victory for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he could convert such a person as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to the devotional school. And actually, he was the greatest scholar of his time, famous throughout the whole of India. and with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya becoming a surrendered devotee, a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it sent shockwaves throughout the academic circles of India. And everyone, all the big scholars of their time, were aware that how powerful this Nimai Pandit, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, that he can bring everyone to his shelter, to his association. Now, another incident which took place, which is very nice, which shows also the greatness of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, was that one day he sent some prasadam for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with two palm leaves. And on the palm leaves, he had written two verses. He gave these things to Mukunda Datta and requested him to deliver them to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mukunda Datta looked at these palm leaves and then copied the verses onto some wall outside. And then he took, I think they were given to Jagadananda Pandit, and Jagadananda Pandit gave to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got these two palm leaves and looked at them, he immediately ripped them up. Didn't want anybody to see them. He ripped them up. But fortunately, the devotees had been very careful. They had already copied the two verses. Right? So these two verses, actually, they're a great credit to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Actually, when he was first defeated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that time, he had composed 100 verses glorifying Lord Chaitanya. But these two verses are especially significant and especially wonderful. Krishnadas Kaviraj in Chaitanya Charitamrita says that these two verses loudly declare the name of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, just like loudly beating a drum. And they're worn as necklaces on the necks of all devotees, because they describe the preaching mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of them I'm familiar with, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshaka Eka Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharera Dari Kripambudir Yastvam Aham Prapadye. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is describing in this verse the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he has come to teach us Vairagya along with Vidya, which are related to Bhakti Yoga. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga, detachment from everything which is not in connection with Krishna consciousness, transcendental knowledge, and devotion to the Supreme Lord. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshaka Eka Purusha Purana. That things, this was the oldest thing. These are not new things. They're Purana, they're old, ancient, but they had been lost. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach these things. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Charera Dari Kripambudir Yastvam Aham Prapadye. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, let me surrender, let me take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has come to establish what had been lost since time immemorial, had been lost to the world, to bring it and again teach us the process of devotion to the Supreme Lord, along with knowledge and detachment from the world. So in this way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya describes the exalted position of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he is actually the Supreme Lord coming to teach us this process of devotional service. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as the covered incarnation of the Lord. He came to teach us how to surrender to Krishna. Krishna told everyone to surrender to him, but Lord Chaitanya came to show us how to surrender. So Lord Chaitanya is even more merciful than Krishna. Krishna simply gave the instruction but did not demonstrate. Therefore, he had to come again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and teach all of us how to surrender to him by his own example. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Are there any questions? Yes, Prabhu? Yes, Lord Chaitanya did not want these two verses to be known because they reveal the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he is the Supreme Lord. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharera Dari Kripambudiyas Tvam Aham Prapadye. Mahaprabhu, we are saying, he comes in the mood of a devotee, not as the Lord himself, but he comes as a devotee. So he did not like that his own followers would try to establish his position as the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he destroyed these verses. Right? Harm makes, because in Kali Yuga there's so many imposters. So many people want to be incarnations of God. There every, you know, we know there are so many now on people claiming that they're God, that they're incarnations of God. So Mahaprabhu was aware that in this Kali Yuga there are going to be so many people claiming to be God. And he didn't want that his followers would make this, you know, encourage people with this. We didn't want to encourage others to try to take the position. You know, if one person can be God, then why I can't be God also? Right? If his guru's God, why my guru also can't be God? That's what goes on. Everybody's guru becomes God. Of course, all Mayavadi gods. It explains that he came to re-establish what had been lost before. I covered it in my talk that he came to what had been lost before. He came to bring it, to re-establish it. And this was his kindness to the world and bringing this, making this knowledge available again. Any other questions, Prabhu? How to what?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. How to realize absolute truth?
How to relate austerity?
Absolute truth. Absolute truth.
How to realize the absolute truth? By devotional service. Right? Lord Chaitanya said, chant the holy name. So you want to realize the absolute truth, you chant Hare Krishna and associate with devotees. Follow the Krishna conscious process and you will realize the absolute truth. You very eager? Yeah? You want to realize the absolute truth very quickly? How much time you wait? Yes, this is the right process anyway. You know, we're in the elevator. We just have to press a button. You know, you don't have to go up the stairs. The other processes are like walking up the stairs. They're very laborious and troublesome. But the Krishna conscious process is very efficient. You'll quickly come to the goal of life by chanting Hare Krishna. And so don't worry. Just keep coming, chanting, hearing about Krishna. You don't expect that, you know, things are going to change greatly when you realize the absolute truth. Everything. Prabhupada explains, just like you sit in the airplane is on the ground 1 minute, and then the next minute it's above in the air, thousands of feet high. You don't notice any change. So in the same way, you come to Krishna consciousness, you chant Hare Krishna, you hear this philosophy, you learn this knowledge, you can realize the absolute truth. It's not that you will change greatly. You're not going to develop two more arms. You're not necessarily going to have a brilliant effulgence, you know, indicating you've realized the Supreme Brahman.
In the when Gopinath Acharya said to Sarvam Bhattacharya that only by the mercy of the Lord you can come to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you'll accept the devotional service. So in our case, whether we should wait for the mercy of the Lord to become a devotee or there will be some endeavor from our side to become a devotee?
Yes, both are there. The mercy of the Lord and our own endeavor, both are required. We cannot just simply wait for the mercy of the Lord. But we attract the mercy of the Lord by our own sadhana, by our own spiritual practice. Both are required, both the endeavor and the Lord's mercy. We cannot simply think, by my own effort, I will do it. Neither can we think, I will simply wait for the mercy of the Lord. But both are required. Somebody may throw the rope. If we're in, you know, sometimes we give the example, the person is in the bottom of the well, so they throw the rope. You have to hold the rope to pull it out. It's not just, you can't just say, get me out. You know, the mercy pleaders say, get me out. You say, hold the rope. They say, look, just get me out. I don't want to hold the rope, just get me out. You know. So like that, sometimes people, you know, the mercy pleaders, you know, give me the mercy, get me out. But they don't want to do any work on their own, you know, they don't want to do the practice on their own. So both are required.
Sometimes like while doing book distribution or preaching to people, when we ask them to purchase the book or start chanting and start coming to the temple and follow the principles, they say that, you know, we'll do it when the time comes, you know, when he inspires us to do it, we will do it. And right now, it is not the time for us to do it, so when the time comes, we'll do it. So how do you refute this argument of this?
You say, yeah, Krishna told me it's the time now, he told me to come. All right. You know, that's why we come, you know, because Krishna told me, now is now. We're just surprised he didn't tell you, why, you know. Another question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Nowadays in this Kali Yuga there are many gurus like Mayavadi gurus, like they claim themselves as God or something, like some devotee, great devotees. But they also tell the holy book name, that is Bhagavatam, Gita Bhagavatam. They give speeches on Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam Gita. And they say that this is the implications of Bhagavatam we are telling you. How to apply in daily life? So, how far we should pursue that? That is my question. How far we should pursue that? That is my question.
How far we should
pursue that?
Pursue.
Should you believe or not? Because it is based on Bhagavatam Gita. They are saying.
Yeah.
Because we can't deny Gita's speech also. But so.
Generally, certainly Bhagavad Gita is used a lot. You know, Srimad Bhagavatam is less common, but Bhagavad Gita people use a lot for their Mayavadi, for their impersonal teachings. But generally they take away Krishna. They take out the bhakti, you know. It's just simply, it becomes just simply something mundane. They take away Krishna from the whole thing. They don't give any importance to Krishna. They're speaking about detachment. They're speaking about duty. But there's nothing with Krishna. So the whole thing becomes empty. Even many spiritual organizations, they have this, they take some scripture and they try to minimize the whole process of bhakti. They try to utilize the scriptures, but at the same time they use it for some material purposes, just speaking about mundane moralities and family responsibilities and duties, and there's no mention of Krishna. Nothing to do with Krishna there. So this becomes me. Although they're externally using scriptures, they fail to understand the real purpose of the scriptures by trying to take out Krishna. Prabhupada was using the Bhagavad Gita of Dr. Radhakrishna for some time when he first went to America. And he had to admit that there were so many things there which did not suit with the actual teachings of bhakti. When people would ask Prabhupada, can you recommend any Bhagavad Gita to us which we can study? Prabhupada would say, no. Actually, there wasn't one. He couldn't recommend even one. Although there were so many editions of Bhagavad Gita, there wasn't one that he could recommend to people which would actually teach them the process of Bhagavad Gita, the message of Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Yoga. So as you are saying, people are using scriptures, but they're simply putting their own message there. Some of their own political messages or whatever. They have taken out the real process of bhakti. If one is actually studying the scriptures, then one has to change. You don't simply remain, we're not just teaching stories. Leelas are there, stories are there, but they're with a message to teach us something. We have to learn from them. It's not just simply narrate some story and you think, oh, very nice, and then go, and you don't change. No, there must be some change in the heart. So this is the purpose of the scriptures. We hear the scriptures, that Prabhupada always stresses the importance of hearing the scriptures from the proper source, that you don't just hear from anywhere. There are so many people speaking on scriptures, but we don't just hear from them. We have to hear from people who are connected in the disciplic succession, in the line of devotees, who will explain the proper message of the scriptures. We have been hearing for a few days about these people presenting Vedanta Sutra. You know, it's also scripture, but it was all speculative. If you hear the teachings of Shankaracharya, your mind becomes bewildered. And you think that the absolute truth is without any form. We become ourselves an impersonalist. Mayavadi aparadi. They are the greatest offenders to Lord Krishna. Because they say that Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna is simply another demigod. Is simply a form of the material manifestation. We say the Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, the material manifestation comes from them. But the Mayavadis, they're saying Krishna is, Vishnu is all coming from the material energy. Everything is coming from matter. So they deny this transcendental form of the Lord. And this is offensive. So we don't hear, we don't want to hear from just anyone. It's not just hearing scripture, but we have to hear from devotees. Then there can be the proper effect. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah?
Maharaj, Lord Chaitanya told to Sarva Bhattacharya, most important is the chanting of the holy names.
Yes.
So, in this chanting of the holy names, we should be careful about offenses to the holy name. So,
yes.
What steps we have to take to avoid offenses?
What steps we have to take to avoid offenses? We have to be aware of the offenses. We have to glorify the holy name. We have to serve the holy name. Just like it, if it's an offense to offend devotees, what can we can glorify devotees, serve the devotees, praise the devotees. To avoid offenses, we have to associate with people who are good in chanting. You have to associate with people who take care in the chanting, who have some respect for the holy name, and who can help us to chant without offense. We have to have the right attitude in the chanting. Now, different devotees are having these japa retreats. They want to go and practice chanting, improving their japa. And they're, during the japa retreats, they're also being given some nectarian quotes about the power of the holy name and the benefit of this chanting. So all of these things can help us, inspire us to improve our chanting. So someone says that since Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was described as being an expert logician, so is having a highly logical mind, is it not conducive for devotional life? If one has a highly logical mind, will this be an obstacle for devotional life? No, doesn't need to be. We can use everything in the service of Krishna. We don't tell people, don't think anymore. Now you're a devotee, don't think. No, if you have a logical mind, you use that to think about how to engage more in devotional service, how to be more Krishna conscious. We, just like when Prabhupada says, we preach about mental speculation, but that doesn't mean we don't have to understand the philosophy of the scriptures. When we study the Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures, we also have to understand the teachings of this, and it will require some philosophical speculation on our part. But that philosophical speculation should be in accordance with the scriptures, in accordance with devotional service. One young boy in London, I remember in the 1970s at that time, there was an Indian family and they had three sons. And one of the sons wrote to Prabhupada and he asked Prabhupada about this, that Prabhupada was preaching against philosophical speculation, but at the same time he had written in a purport in the Bhagavad Gita that you have to understand the message of Krishna on the basis of philosophy. So he wanted to know, is this some contradiction? So Prabhupada said, no, this is not a contradiction. You have to understand the scriptures on the basis of philosophy. But you do not have to speculate. You don't have to use your own mundane intelligence to understand it. We have to understand the scriptures on the basis of the information which is in scriptures. Prabhupada gave an, he said, just like when you read that Krishna says, I am the taste in water, you should think, How is it Krishna is the taste in water? So like this, if you have a highly logical mind, that's very good. But learn how to use it in accordance with the teachings of the scriptures. We don't have to invent our own philosophy, but we have to use our highly logical mind to support the practice of devotional service. We don't want to take away the personality of Godhead, which is the result of which is what happens with the Mayavada philosophy. Shankaracharya's teachings deny the personality of Godhead. We want to support the existence of the Absolute Truth as a person. So we can use our logical mind to explain these things. Explain in some logical manner how God is a person. Explain in a logical manner why the chanting of Hare Krishna is so important. You can explain in a logical manner why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how he is the Kali Yuga avatar. We can do all of these things in a logical manner. That will be very nice. Make good use of every talent we have for the service of Krishna. Someone has asked, do urges continue forever in the same way? If one has some urge, in Nectar of Instruction, urges are described as vegas, vacho vegam, manasakroda vegam, vegas, the urges of the mind, the senses. So do these urges continue forever? Oh, ages. It's ages, not urges, is it? Ages. The four ages, like Kali Yuga, Dwarpa. Yeah, well, these ages, do they continue? They continue for a lifetime of Brahma. Right? As long as Brahma is alive, there's the four ages are continuing. But with the death of Brahma, then there's annihilation. Right? Everything is absorbed within the body of Mahavishnu. And then, after the death of Brahma, then you have to wait for a while until there's a new Brahma, until there's another Brahma, right? And then begin again. So again and again the day comes and again the night falls. It's like that. Yeah, the process of creation and annihilation is going on eternally. So the four ages continue, but sometimes they're suspended for some time. Just like at the night of Brahma, there's a temporary suspension. And then with the end of Brahma's life, then there's a longer suspension. But again, they continue. Urges. So, I thought the question was about urges. These urges, yeah, we have to purify these urges, the senses. We don't stop the activities of the senses, but we use the senses in Krishna consciousness. The urge of the tongue is controlled by accepting Krishna prasadam and by speaking about Krishna. The urge of the belly, like that, you know, but we fill it with Krishna prasadam. The urge of the senses, we use our senses in Krishna consciousness, utilizing all of our senses. These different urges become an aid for us if we use them in the service of Krishna. So we cannot just simply stop urges. The mistake is to want to stop, to try to suppress urges. But we can purify it by engaging these different tendencies in the service of Krishna. We have urges, we utilize them in the service of Krishna. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Teaching humility, we give the reference of Srila Rupa Goswami approaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with a straw in his mouth.
Yes.
So, means when we give this reference, devotees say that, oh, we are not Rupa Goswami,
neither the person we are approaching is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how do we understand, like, we give this reference, how do we understand this situation? Like, should we not take the reference of the scriptures, or how do we understand?
Well, this idea of taking the straw in the mouth, it wasn't just simply Rupa Goswami, but this was an etiquette. It was a procedure of taking a humble position before a superior. So if we are in that mood of surrender, of submitting ourselves to some superior person like that, then it may be appropriate. It was especially appropriate in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to do it. You know, Rupa and Sanatan had realized his position. They had complete faith and they were totally surrendered to him. So it was appropriate for them to behave in this way. One shouldn't simply make a show of these things. You know, if somebody puts a straw in their mouth and falls at someone's feet, are you ready to, are you ready to go to Vrindavan like Rupa and Sanatan and leave everything and all your wealth, you know? So, we shouldn't just make a show of these things. That is the idea, yeah. Yes?
Maharaj, how can we cultivate strong surrender?
How to cultivate the mood of surrender? Who do you want to surrender to?
To Guru and Krishna.
Uh-huh. Well, we're given 6 items, right? The 6 items are described in Prabhupada's purport in Bhagavad Gita. You can read also, these 6 items are mentioned. First of all, we have to accept everything favorable for devotional service. You have to reject everything which is not favorable for devotional service. Then we should know that only Krishna can maintain us, that we cannot be maintained by the will of, by worship of some demigods, but only by the grace of Lord Krishna. He is maintaining everyone. Only Krishna can give protection. We cannot protect our own self without the grace of Krishna. We should have no desire separate from the desire of Krishna, and we should always remain meek and humble soul. So these are the 6 items listed in the scriptures. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can find these. They're in Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita purport, 18th chapter, to the verse Sarva Dharmam Parigyajna. You'll find them in the purport there. So you have to think, you have to constantly meditate. What is favorable for your devotional service? What is not? You have to practice these things. Just simply try to incorporate these 6 principles into your daily life. That Krishna is maintaining you, Krishna is protecting you. Always have no desire but Krishna's desire. And keep yourself humble. Okay, so we will stop then tonight. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.